Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Living for Jesus in a selfie-centered world. So tonight, just for a little while, I want to speak about being authentic. How do we become authentic? And I'm going to keep this in my hand because it'll remind me and keep me on track of what I'm speaking about. And then you might say, John, what is authentic? Well, authentic is, it is what it appears to be. Does that make sense? It kind of means to be genuine. It means to be original. It means to be real. It's original, not a copy. And I just believe that in God, God makes each one of us originals. When he made you, he broke the mold and he started a new one. There's no DNA like yours. There's no thumbprint like yours. You are an individual, but we live together in this world. And I just believe that when it comes to life, that God's got a track, he's got a purpose, he's got a plan, and he wants each one of us to live our life in an authentic way. And I know we're all influenced by people. And at the end of the day, we come a because of the influences, we come a bit of this person, a bit of that person. But at the core of it, we need to be ourselves. The most powerful person is you. We don't need a copy. I want to see the real you. I want to see the best you. And I just think sometimes with the way the world goes, because we've got this conformity that you've got to be a certain thing in a certain way. And I believe it's good to fit in. But never lose your individuality and who you are. And if you haven't found it yet, go on the journey. Because as you go on the journey, you find the person that God originated you to be. And I find this, that the more I walk with God, the more I find who I am. Yeah. The more I get to know God, the more I get to know John. And that's why it's not a good thing to become religious. It's a good thing to become relational and look to Jesus, because he'll help you identify the person you are. And I want to say this tonight, finding your identity is not looking back. Your future is not behind you. Your future is in front of you, and your future's unfolded as you desire in your heart that you're going to be the person that God desires you to be. And I just, as I said before, I just find more and more, the more relaxed I'm becoming, the more spiritually natural, the more naturally spiritual, and we go on in life. Interesting to note that when we come to, you know, I ask each one to take a selfie tonight, and Chris Davison sent me one. Thank you, Chris. And, a good group of people there. And listen to this. 11 months ago, there were 35 million selfies posted. 35 million over 11 months. Last month, there was 170 million selfies in 1 month. You know, my generation that I was growing up, we would never turn a camera on ourselves. Is that true? My generation. Except one time when my mother was at a college graduation for my brother. She jumps up in the crowd, and I still remember it. I was so embarrassed. Everyone was sitting down. All the students were up here, and she gets the camera and gets up and takes a photo, and she hand it round the wrong way. And flashed the self right in the face. So not many of us in our generation, and maybe you're a person like that today, where you kind of don't like kind of getting your photo taken. When I was growing up, the worst thing for me was school photo day. And they'd kind of warn you that's coming up. So I'd borrow my brother's jumper that the sleeves were down here and roll them up and, you know, get my hair done and that kind of stuff. And this is how it went. You're sitting there, who knows what I'm talking about? You're sitting on your seats, all different rows, and you've got the number of the year that it is. I don't know if it's still the same. And you know what they do? They get the camera there, and the person looks at you, and they say, 1, 2, 3, click. And if you happen to be picking your nose, or if you happen to be, that's how it was. There was no second shot. Next, please. Next, please. And I remember used to kind of wait for months, you know, for your photo to come out and that kind of stuff. And it's pretty ordinary. But things have changed. Let me ask you, who's ever taken, apart from tonight, a selfie? Oh, come on. Listen, look at me. Who's ever taken a selfie and say, I'm not going to post that? Come on. Loosen up, you pack of Christians. It was funny, yesterday afternoon, I took my grandson to the circus around the corner. And my daughter wanted me to take a photo of, you know, my grandson at the circus. So I was eating a donut. Man, it stuck in my gut for hours. It was kind of brown but soggy in the middle. and I took a photo with Finley and myself. And when I got home, there was a bit of donut on my nose. And I said to my daughter, you can't post that. It's got this. She said, don't worry about it. We'll filter it out. I said, oh, that's quite amazing. She said, we'll filter it out. We'll soften the photo and, you know, we'll brighten this and all that kind of stuff. And it'll be wonderful. I said, mate, you couldn't do that when I was a kid. I remember we got to high school and you had to get your photo done and that kind of stuff. And when I was a younger kid, I had pimples all over my face. And I'm up here and that kind of stuff. So you've got your photo day. And my big thing in the morning was, should I pop it or should I leave it? But now it doesn't matter because you can just filter the whole thing out. Okay. The more we filter ourselves, the more of what are people seeing. You know, technology is great. There's three different ways that technology is impacting our relationship. And as we said a few weeks ago, the term friend is evolving. You know, used to be friend was someone that I spend time with and spend life with. But now friendship can be something on Facebook. You click them and then you're a friend. So the word friend is evolving. Modern technology it hinges on the immediate gratification. I'll take a photo and you like it. Oh yeah, someone likes me. Yippee! You know, and it's all good. And it can cause non-engagement because what we're doing, we're relating through this and not through this way. So I like this. There's so many amazing ways that we can communicate and get together, but there are a few downsides. It's interesting, I just did a bit more research and some people are starting to fear avoiding face-to-face communication. We're so used to, okay, I'll send a message. And then we write the message, then we look at it. No, I've got to change that a bit. Then we look at it again, and then we do it. What are we doing? We're filtering our communication. So we're so used to kind of editing our conversation that when it comes to real conversation, we get a little bit nervous. Who finds that? And it's interesting to note that even some people, they create online personalities. It's not them, but they create a persona that they're communicating out there. I know it's none of you guys, it's someone else. But because many are uncomfortable in conversations they can't control. When I was a kid, We didn't have these things. We had what you call a telephone that was usually in the hallway. Who remembers that? Or is on the wall in the kitchen. And if it rang, you didn't know who it was. And you pick up the phone, and what did you have to do? You talk, hello. And then you would just go into, you know, a conversation, whatever it might be. And so you didn't have a clue who they were. But it's interesting today that we have the luxury, or we have the blessing of, if a phone call comes to me, I can see who it is. Nah, let that one go to message bank. Who does that? Nah, yeah, of course you do. But I want to tell you, if I call you, don't let it go to message bank. But that's what we do. And I even do it myself. If I'm in a meeting, or if I'm a bit exhausted and that kind of stuff, man, I don't feel like having that conversation at the moment. I'll just let it go. And what do? Send a text. Sorry I missed your phone call. I was really busy. Liar. And it's just amazing, we choose what we respond to and what we don't respond to. It's interesting that they said that one girl is in a group, they're having a bit of a discussion about it. One girl said, I'm so nervous to talk on the phone that I script out what I'm going to say before I call anybody. And then they asked her, what kind of conversation would you script? And she said, well, if I'm going to order a pizza, because I'm so nervous, I'll script what I'm going to say. Or if I've got to call someone that I don't know that well, I'm going to script what I say because of the unsureness in the face-to-face communication. And, you know, you might say, oh, boy, that's not me. That's fine. But don't be shocked, because there's a generation that has not been exposed to learn how to communicate in an unfiltered way. Listen to this. Out of 25 young adults, 75% scripted their phone conversations. Because sometimes conversation is unsettling for some people. The more we filter our lives, the more difficult it is to be authentic. This is not just a modern day problem. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, it's going to get into a scripture. Paul is talking about Moses as he ascended on top of Mount Sinai. He received the Ten Commandments from God. And after 40 days, 40 nights with God, the glory of God was on his face. Just imagine spending time with God. You come down the mountain out of God, and then your face is glowing with the glory of God. Amazing. And then it says that Moses put a veil over his face. But the fact was, it wasn't because people couldn't handle the glory that was on him. He was covering up so people couldn't see the glory that was fading. And I just want to read this scripture to you, because I think it's important that you hear it. Then we'll sum all this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 13. It'll be on the screen. You okay up there? Okay. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing. 14. Next. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Lord the Spirit. Didn't we do well? We went from verse 13 to 18. So in there, there's all sorts of other verses as well, but we'll leave it like that. So basically what Paul was saying to the Corinthians, that how great, you know, the new covenant is in comparison to the old covenant. What he was saying in context was this: whenever the old covenant is read in the synagogues, the unbelieving Jewish people cannot see the truth because they are blinded from seeing and experiencing the truth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. It reads like this. among them the gods of this world. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. I just believe that God wants us not to have a veil over our life, but to have unveiled living. Are you hearing me today? Now, let me explain this. By nature, when we are insecure and we're not feeling good about ourselves, we want to do something to cover it. Is that right? When I was younger, I was insecure, so I used to laugh a lot. And I probably do, but for a different reason now. I used to laugh a lot, smile a lot, because I think that's what people wanted me to do. And by nature, when you're a bit insecure, you're a bit unsure of yourself, we tend to hide and put a veil that filters our life. Or maybe when there's sin within our life, we like to kind of put a veil up as well. And you know, like Adam and Eve did when they sinned. And, you know, as soon as they sinned, you know, before that they were naked and it was all comfortable and all that kind of stuff. But when they sinned, instead of saying, I'm sorry to God, the Bible says they were ashamed because they were naked. They were afraid, so they hid and they put fig leaves on. And I believe a fig leaf is a type of a veil. I don't want you to see the real me. So wherever come, we can do this through social media or in other ways. And you need to hear this today. Only Christ can take the veil away. I'm trying to make it easy for you tonight. And for me, I've found significant spiritual victory in my own life. I used to be in bondage to the approval of people. Man, I just wanted people to be happy with me. Who's like that? Just me, I'm sorry. I kind of got it all wrong. I thought I had to grow in favor with people, then I'd grow in favor with God. But the more I kind of, you know, tried to keep everybody happy, I was kind of, oh man, I got to keep him happy, I got to keep her happy. And they all have different expectations. And I was going crazy in the head. And then I realized that it doesn't say that we need to grow in favor with God and with man. So if we're putting God first, it's a big help for us to get the veil dealt with in our lives so that we can walk in a secure relationship with God.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.